Hare Krishna. Question: why is Vritrasura depicted as a demon in the Rig Veda and as a devotee in the Bhagavatam? Answer: the Bhagavatam also doesn't hide the fact that Vritrasura is a demon. His formidable, fearsome form is described graphically in the Bhagavatam, and how just seeing him terrorizes many of the soldiers on the demigod side, and how they flee in horror on seeing him, that is also depicted. So the fact that he is a demon is consistent across the scriptures. However, every scripture has a particular focus, has a particular emphasis. And according to that emphasis, the narrative is shaped. So, the Rig Veda and the Vedas in general focus on Karma Kanda. Krishna says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda and Traigunya Bhava Arjuna in 2.44. So, Traigunya Vishaya Veda. The Vedas talk about Karma Kanda. That means, how by doing Dharma, one can get Artha Kama. And moksha is not talked about directly in the Veda. They talked about primarily in the Upanishads. So now, in that narrative, the point is if one lives a life of dharma, then one will attain success. One will attain victory. So, Indra is portrayed as a Deva. And the Deva follows dharma. And the demons are generally adharmic. So, how the dharmic Deva conquers over the adharmic Asura is described in the Rig Veda. So the essential narrative, the specific forms can vary in the sense that how Rudra looks like or specifically how they fight or what they dialogue, what is their conversation if they have any. That can vary because these pastimes can happen across various kalpas. And different pastimes will be recorded at different scriptures. But the important point is that what is the carry home message? So in the Rig Veda it is that if you do dharma, then you will be victorious. And Indra is depicted as practically the quintessential model of the successful fruity worker. Indra, when he's on earth, he's done a lot of yajna, now he goes to heavens. And he has power, he has position, he has wealth and he has enjoyment. Bhoga Ishwarya. So that's what is that was his, so the depiction of Indra defeating and killing Rudra is consistent with the purpose of the Rig Veda of glorifying the devatas and encouraging people at least to the level of practicing Karma Kanda so that they are not, so that even if they want to be materialistic, they will be religiously materialistic and not irreligiously materialistic. That means they will at least follow dharma to get artha and kama and not seek adharma, not do adharma in seeking artha and kama. Now if you move forward, in the Mahabharata itself, the story of Vritrasura comes along again, and there are more nuances in that story. So Vritrasura, when the story comes in the Mahabharata, he is depicted as a wise demon. Now he's a demon still, but he's a wise demon and he gives instructions to Indra. And now the Bhagavatam continues that, and he gives not just instructions on the temporariness of material existence, which is what he focuses, what is the folk thrust of the instructions in the Mahabharata. The Bhagavatam is focusing essentially on bhakti. And while focusing on bhakti, the Bhagavatam actually demonstrates the way in which bhakti trumps all normal hierarchies. So normal hierarchy means, say, there are upper caste people and there are lower caste people. So the sannyasi is higher than a grahastha, or a brahmana is higher than a kshatriya. But the Bhagavatam trumps this by showing how Durvasa Muni, who is a grahastha and a kshatriya, he is revealed as far greater than Durvasa Muni, who is a sannyasi and a brahmana. So similarly, normally a devata is considered to be higher than a asura. But in the Bhagavatam's narrative, the asura becomes higher than devata because the devata is attached. So, although both are in one sense bhaktas, but Indra is more of an attached devotee. He does bhakti, but his bhakti is largely sakam bhakti. Whereas Vritrasura, he has a demoniac body and he acts according to the demoniac body as is impelled by the Lord from within. But eventually, he surrenders to the Lord. And he, when he is faced with death, and although he's such a fearsome demon that just the sight of him will strike terror in the hearts of observers, but that demon has such a tender heart that when he's in this final stages of his life, he gives such vivid, poetic and moving metaphors. He says, Ajata Pakshaivakha Tarammataha. He says, just as Stannamiva, he talks about how this is a small bird who has not yet developed its wings, it longs for its mother to come back and feed it. Just as a calf longs for the cow to come so that he can drink milk. And just as a lover longs for her beloved to return. So like that, my dear Lord, I long for you. So his tender heart amidst his fear, within his fearsome exterior is also revealed. So the Bhagavatam's focus is not just on what happens at the material level, who wins and who loses. So essentially, at the material level, the narrative remains the same, at least in the short term, that Indra wins and Vritrasura loses. But in terms of consciousness, Indra is an attached devotee, and that's why when he finds that I may not win, Vritrasura is so powerful. And although he has a weapon which is got not just from Dadichi's bones, there is the power of that weapon, but also that weapon has been given, the arrangement for that weapon has been revealed by the Lord himself. So it is as per the Lord's plan. But when he sees that his plan is not being successful, he doesn't even have faith in the Lord's plan. And he starts thinking, oh, what is the use of fighting if I can't win? When he sees the power of Vritrasura. But although Vritrasura's plan is going to fail, he's fighting and he's going to lose and he's going to be killed. But still, because he has surrendered to the Lord, so he is not only facing death gracefully, but he encourages Indra. And he gives him good advice and good instruction, and thus he elevates Indra's consciousness. And then, the Bhagavatam's further depiction is, of course, Rudra dies long before Indra cuts off his neck. Because Rudrasura has gone in trance and his soul has left his body and attained Vaikuntha. But the Bhagavatam further describes how Indra then has to suffer the consequences of Brahmahatya. Because earlier he has killed Vishwarupa, who was the son of a Brahmana Tvashtra, and now he has killed Vritrasura, who is also in one sense created like a son of a Brahmana, because he had been created by a Brahmana Tvashtra through a fire sacrifice. Now, the Bhagavatam's stress is not even on this. That actually the Bhagavatam stresses that even an offense as grievous as Brahmahatya, that can be countered if one engages in hearing chanting. Of course, this is not an encouragement that somebody do Brahmahatya and then do hearing chanting and plan it all in such a way that, oh, actually, as long as I do hearing and chanting, Brahmahatya won't matter. No, that is not the point. That will become the seventh offense, and the Bhagavatam definitely does not encourage that. But seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. To think that because I am chanting, I can do sinful activities and I will get away with it. That mentality is not approved. But if one commits sinful activities, no matter how grievous they may be, if one absorbs oneself in bhakti, Shravana Kirtan of the Supreme Lord, one will transcend the reactions, because the Lord will protect such a person. So that is the stress of what the Bhagavatam is teaching. And in every narrative, we should focus on what is stressed. And so the Bhagavatam, because its focus is on teaching the transcendence of bhakti, how bhakti enables a person to go beyond the normal hierarchies in terms of who is higher and who is pious and impious, and further how bhakti can enable one to transcend even grievous sinful reactions. So in the Bhagavatam, that is the stress, and that's why Dhritarashtra is depicted not just as a demon, which is there, but within a demon's body, he is depicted as a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava. Thank you. Hare Krishna.